Sheffield's Kell Brook. Of course, our Sam Bridges was down there on Saturday night, and I don't think the lad even broke a sweat taking on Bizier.
Yeah, it was a pretty routine defence of his title, wasn't it? I think that it went as the script said. I mean, it was the third defence of his title that he won, and I don't think, as you said, he even got out of second gear. Second round stoppage, there was knocked down, there was cuts, and he obviously proved he's a class above the mandatory challenges they're putting in front of him. So he now moved to 36-0, which for anyone is an amazing record, and for me, he now enters a crucial stage in his career. I mean, he could secure a status as like the leading figure in the 147-pound division. But for me, Saturday night wasn't it. That was kind of a I need to step up message for both the promoter and for people in that division. So it's exciting to see where he's going to go next, actually.
I think Eddie's trying really hard to get him a decent, you know, big-time opponent. He's looking for that big name now, isn't he? And he's trying to get someone. But for whatever reason, they're either ducking him or they just don't fancy it over in Sheffield.
Well, I mean, obviously Khan's out of the question with Canelo in May, and then he's admitted that he's taken up till July off for Ramadan. So obviously it's a November clash if it's ever going to happen with Khan, which I'm not too sure is going to happen. So the obvious opponents are like Thurman, Garcia and Jesse Vargas. They're the three names that Eddie's probably going to go to first. I just don't see any of them travelling outside of the US to fight. So, but Kell Brook did say in his post-fight interview that he's prepared to travel. And obviously, when he beat Sean Porter to get his belt 2 years ago, he did travel out to the US. So he's capable of doing it. Whether he wants to go and do that, it's a big risk, obviously. But I think Kell Brook's got the tools to go and do it for me, especially against people like Thurman and Garcia. They're big hitters. But I think Kell Brook's proved himself 36-0 now that he can. He can mix it with the best, and unless he's put in against somebody like that, he's never ever going to be the leading figure in that division for me unless he fights a name like that soon.
Yeah, really want to see him go and do that and really take on the big names. And, you know, if he's got to go to America, then so be it. I mean, obviously everyone wants to get him here in Sheffield, see it all there, but if he's got to travel, so be it. And then we can get the big fight over here. They'll come over here then, they'll come to see him. It's just the way
exactly.
It's going to work. It's just the way it's going to work.
The people of Yorkshire are amazing. They're great fans. They fill out arenas if it was like two people on the card. They're amazing fans. But I do think that people like Danny Garcia and Vargas, they're going to want to have it in their own backyard. But at the end of the day, James DeGale does it with ease. He goes out and does what he does with his belt. So, and a lot of people do go. I mean, look, we've seen Tyson Fury. He wasn't even the holder and went out and dethroned Klitschko. So we've seen it be done. I think Kell Brook, I think he'll be comfortable. Give him a few weeks out in America. I reckon he'll climatise, and I reckon he'll be able to beat the world's best. At 36-0, he's at that stage in his career now where it's do or die, really. I mean, Khan's off the radar. He's the leading figure for me, so he needs to go and fight a big name. It's going to be really exciting who he chooses, though.
Yeah, it really is, isn't it? Good to see how his career's going to progress with this one here. And on that same card as well, Luke Campbell. Wow, what a victory for him. That's just another step up, another move forward for the whole fighter there, isn't it?
For me, I mean, it just showed that it was clear for me that he still has tons of talent. I mean, people, after his loss to Mendy, were saying, oh, does he still have what it takes? And, I mean, you're going to get your critics, aren't you? I mean, everyone, as soon as someone loses in boxing, they're the worst person you've ever seen. But for me, it was clear that he's got tons of talent and ability. And for me, he's technically brilliant. I think he just shows he was so sharp, and he looked to shake off all of what happened behind him, and obviously got back to winning ways and back proud owner of the Commonwealth now. And as he said, what I liked in his interview is that he said he's going to look for the British belt now. And for me, that's a good step to take. I mean, the British is such a great belt to have. I think people bypass the domestic division quite a lot, like unlike Billy Joe Saunders, who actually went like Southern Area, English, British, like he went that way about it. I think there's such a persona about having that British belt that I think if he takes that first under his new trainer against Jorge Rubio, I do think that having that British belt with him to go to the world level will give him some good experience going for that world title again. And I mean, the potential fights at domestic level, like Scott Cardo has already called him out, which obviously for British fans is going to be a great fight if that does happen. But for me, Luke Campbell's got it what it takes to trade at world level. I think he just took it, trying to go a little bit too, with the Olympic success, was trying to take it a little bit too quickly, too soon. But definitely, I think there's a homecoming fight to be had against Mendy to maybe put his wrongs right. But I think the domestic level for him at the moment is a great way to start. I mean, he looked amazing on Saturday. I think onwards and upwards for Luke.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, he did look very good. And I think he's going to have an incredible career. It's just going to keep moving from strength to strength to strength.
Agreed.
So
I
good.
I think people were very quick to write him off when he had that loss. I mean, loss make fight. I know it's a cheesy cliche that everyone says, but losses can make a fighter better. And I think it's clear that he's put the hunger back inside of him and he showed how good he actually is on Saturday.
Yeah, he really did. He was absolutely fantastic. And it's great to see him do it. A couple of good fighters from the White Rose Council there doing the business. A bit of boxing on free TV this weekend as well, which was quite nice, wasn't it? Although it was a heck of a fight, but you know, this one with Eubank Jr. And Blackwell, it kind of ended with a bit of a sour note.
Yeah, I mean, the fight was amazing to be on terrestrial TV. It was amazing that the fans got to see a fight like two warriors of middleweight English boxing. But obviously it ended on that sour note, to where even Channel 5 couldn't put on the Huey Fury card, the Huey Fury fight, which was a bit upsetting because I think a lot of fans are looking forward to seeing him. But obviously at the moment, all of our thoughts and well wishes have to be with Nick Blackwell. I've met him. He's an amazing man. And I can honestly say he's an absolutely great guy when you meet him. And it gives everything in the ring, which we saw. Unfortunately, he got a little bit outclassed and outworked by Chris Eubank, who put on a great performance, but at the moment he's still obviously an induced coma. And like, love and well wishes obviously from you guys and me go out to Nick and his family. I think a lot of people on Twitter have come out and said what a warrior is, but also on the flip side, people have said that oh, he's only a boxer, he'll be fine. And it's kind of like people do forget that we talk about it in such an entertainment business that we forget that every time boxers step through the ropes, they're actually putting their lives at risk for us and for our entertainment. So no matter how much he earned and how much entertainment we saw and how many bleeding eyes and swollen eyes we saw on Saturday, at the end of the day, there's still a mum sitting at a hospital bed today with his son in a coma. You know, so I think we've just got to kind of bring it all back. It was a great show. Well done to Channel 5 again for putting such a good show on. But I think we have to look at Blackwell and just say, hope he gets well soon.
Yeah, very much so. Spoke to Wipeout Wilson, Jerome Wilson, before about this situation. Obviously, he's a man who's been through a brain injury. As he still said to me, he's fighting back from it now. He's fought back. He's done so well to get as far as he has in his recovery. But he was saying how, you know, when he saw Nick drop to the canvas, you know, his heart really did sink. And I think he may have got that feeling that this is happening against somebody else. And the feelings must have just been flying through a man like that. There were obviously people talking about the corner team and talking about the referee. And as I said to Jerome, you know, if a fighter says to the ref that they can continue, I'm sure the ref's going to say, OK, well, you know, unless it's looking like you're a total mess, will continue because you're saying that you can. Lots of people coming out and talking about how, you know, it shouldn't have happened like that, and it's just sad to see it, isn't it? But it kind of was what it was at the end.
But I don't. Yeah, no one's to blame. I know that sounds like a silly thing to say. Nick Blackwell would have fought on if he had two broken arms. He's that sort of guy. He's a warrior. He'll carry on and carry on. And in a way, boxers may be too proud. But at the end of the day, he was trading with Eubank. He didn't look, obviously, the eye come up pretty quickly, which was probably a good thing because the doctor stopped it immediately. But I don't think the referee or anyone should have got any stick. Gary Lookett, anyone should have got any stick for what they did. I mean, Nick was fully, like, he was engaging with the corner. He was throwing back and he was moving. And he didn't show any clear signs of being, like, of damage in his head or anything. So, obviously, Chris Eubank saying to hit to the body, I think people are taking that a bit too, making a story out of that. I think he just meant for his son to go to the body because he wasn't taking him out to the head. I mean, you know, Nick's quite a hard guy to put away. So I think he just said to go to his body because he was taking a lot of punishment to the head and he couldn't get rid of him. So the stoppage would come via a body shot. It all ended up like it did. And obviously Chris Eubank having the past that he's had, he obviously, when Nick dropped to the canvas, which was sickening for everybody, must have been even more sickening for him and brought back memories. So it was quite respectful in the press conference they had today, him and Junior. They said that when they're not going to have any celebrations with the belt until Nick's home and well, which was really nice. I mean, very respectful after what was happening at ringside with Billy Joe Saunders and Eubank. It was nice to see a little bit of like no celebrations, no post interviews, just like wait, let him get better, and then we'll have our celebrations. Which, I mean, forgetting this, Eubank did put on a good display of boxing.
Really did.
He did. I mean, he was very. I mean, dominated from for me beginning to end. His power showed through. His uppercuts just were like lethal, and he bullied Blackwell, which you don't get a lot of people. You can't say that about a lot of fighters. Not a lot of people bully Blackwell. And Eubank did, so he put together some vicious combinations, and for me, convincingly won on the night. It's just a shame that it did end. I mean, after it would have been some nice little fights between Billy Joe and Eubank, and it would have been a nice little mouth-watering for the British fans. But unfortunately, for me, and I know I speak for everyone of the fans that I know, everyone's just waiting to hear news from Nick's family and just hope that he wakes up from the coma with... No more injuries.
Same here. Just want him to recover as quick as possible, and hopefully he's going to be all right. Take that time to rest and relax and get himself back. We just want to make sure that he's going to be absolutely okay. Really, really sad to see what happens.
Yeah,
to him,
I just don't.
Let's hope he's
personally,
back.
Just a little note to add that I personally don't think that Eubank's ready to take on the likes of Golovkin after the performance. Though might seem a bit. I just think, yeah, calling out someone like Golovkin after you've avoided Daniel Jacobs, for me, it's very, very much looking for like the money. For me, he did leave himself open a little bit. He did do some showboating, which I'm pretty much against in the boxing ring. But for me, I mean, he beat Blackwell convincingly, but for me, he's still not Golovkin level. But he showed an amazing display of boxing, Eubank, and I think that is forgotten, obviously, with the Blackwell injury, but he needs to be commended on how well we performed in there on the night.
Absolutely, without a shadow of a doubt. And looking ahead to this weekend, of course, another humongous sort of, well, it's the kind of pretty much build up, I guess, really, isn't it? It's all about the gloves being off. We've already seen it as well with Anthony Joshua and Charles Martin. This is going to be a humongous fight, isn't it? In the coming weeks, and
I can't believe that it's 10 days away.
Me neither.
It really shocked me. I mean, I looked at my calendar today and I was like, no way is this fight 10 days away. It just, for me, it's come round so quickly. You've got obviously two athletes that are clearly completely up for this fight. They're both well sure they're going to win, I've been told from behind the scenes. They're so confident. So, again, it's the heavyweights that make the mouth water of the boxing fans. I mean, one punch changes everything. It's not going to be like Frampton Quigg was good, but it's not going to be a 12-round affair with like technicalities. We all know that. We all know it's a Southpaw versus a British Orthodox fighter. I mean, it's going to be, the arena's going to be jam-packed on the night. I think everyone's going to have one of them nights where they get their friends round. And I just think it's just going to be amazing. There was news today that Joshua was trying a new machine called a rebounder, which I hadn't seen before. And it was where you throw a mini tennis ball against the trampoline.
Okay.
And he put on his Instagram and said, no stone unturned.
Wow.
So it's clear that Joshua is keeping his head down. I mean, I haven't heard, like the previous world title fights, I haven't heard a complete media train of it. I mean, I know it's still bubbling under the surface, but I just really can't wait for fight week where the full gloves are off comes out and the media workouts and the training go on Sky and behind the ropes. I mean, that's when, for me, it gets real.
Yeah, that's it. This Sunday from 7:30, we've got the gloves are off on Sky Sports. So we're going to be able to see that.
I mean, there was a quote from the gloves are off where Martin promised the viewers that it would never last 12 rounds. And it says he's the hungrier lion of the sport.
Mm.
So you can already see quotes coming out from that programme that's going to make everyone, I guess, tune in on Sunday evening. I just think it's, the only thing I'm worried about is that obviously Joshua's had 15 fights and Eddie and the team seem to be looking a little bit ahead of Charles Martin, saying, where can we go from here?
I think they may be planning a bit too far in advance with things.
Yeah, I think they might be overlooking him a little bit. I think they've got kind of like put it in the bag for themselves, and I just, Martin's a big, heavy southpaw, and you can never write people off. And he's, at the end of the day, how he got the title, you can argue, but he's got it. He's a world title holder, so you can't ever overlook a boxer, let alone a heavyweight, and a southpaw.
Yeah.
They're difficult people to fight. So, for me, I think Joshua just needs to get about everything that's going on outside the ring. It sounds so cliche. Keep his head down. Don't let it all sap his energy. You know, it's so easy to happen. But it's in his backyard. I mean, it's in the O2. He's comfortable there. He's got so many knockouts there. So let's just hope that Britain can get behind Joshua and hope he can bring the belt and keep it over here.
Another corking card at the O2 Arena. It's going to be absolutely cracking in 10 days' time. Absolutely unbelievable.
Can I just add a little mention to like Frank Guglione, who made a comeback on the Channel 5 show?
Yes.
I think he looks so sharp and accurate under new trainer Don Charles. And I just think there's big things to come from him in the next 12 months. And like Nick, having met him, he's just one of the nice, most genuine men in the sport that I've met. So I just want to say a big well done to Frank and how well and him and Don are getting on. And hopefully him and Hosea Burton can get it on at domestic level for that British belt. That's going to be very exciting at light heavy.
Get them promoted with Sonny. That's what they need to be doing right now. Brooke, it's been an absolute pleasure talking to you one more
pleasure.
Time. And I'm sure we'll
Thank
speak
you.
around this big card at the O2.
Yes, definitely. I'll get my notepad and pen out.